Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to The Exchange. This is Cheryl Castile. My guest in the studio today, Vinnie Savoy of Relentless Designs, is an incredibly talented young man. And the thing that I love discovering in life, and especially this is the time of the holidays and Thanksgiving and people giving back and also giving thanks for how their life is that when you find these really cool projects that somebody is doing kind of separate from their day-to-day job. And those are some things that we're going to talk about with Vinnie today. He is a 3D image designer. So welcome, Vinnie.
Thank you. I'm excited. I've always wanted to be on a radio. So.
Yeah, so there you go. Yeah. Yeah. You could probably make this microphone that's right in front of us, correct?
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah. Definitely. You know, before we really get into talking about like 3D design and that, I'm curious, when you were growing up, did art play a role in your life?
Yeah, I was always constantly designing things. I remember back in even kindergarten.
And where was that? Where did you grow up?
Opelousas Catholic. That's where I went to high school and elementary. And I remember in kindergarten class, we had a crafting section. It was filled with construction paper and tape and duct tape, everything. And I was always in that section designing and making things. It was just random stuff. And one of the things that I made that was just pretty crazy was it was actually a toilet out of construction paper, and it was pretty random. But my father was always into like construction and building houses and different things like that. And so I guess I had construction on my mind. So it was also a challenge to myself to make a toilet out of paper, and actually I had everything. I had the lids and everything. It worked.
So it was a 3D. It wasn't just drawing or cutting it out. So it went against the wall.
That's cool.
So that goes back to an early age for you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then, okay, as you got older, you know, and thought about what you wanted to study or what you wanted to do, how did the path lead you to what you're doing now?
It was somewhat pretty interesting. I went to LSUV for graphic design. I wanted to do something with like pictures and art. I like to draw and stuff like that. And I went to LSUV, and I didn't get any grants or scholarships. So I was kind of forced to quit going to LSUV.
Yeah.
And so I went to T.H. Harris in Opelousas, and I went for drafting design. And I thought it was pretty interesting, making blueprints and how detailed it was, and that's what I did. And my teacher said, you know, hey, all right, all you're going to do is 2D drawings. I was like, 2D? You know, we're not doing 3D? She's like, no, but if you want to learn it, you got to teach yourself. So then I went on the internet and taught myself everything I know about 3D, and that's where I'm at.
Oh, and that's how you learn.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, fascinating. Now, how old about is like the whole thing about 3D print design?
Well, 3D printing is I think it came out in the 1980s, but it was more or less for like NASA and then like the huge industries and things like that. And but it just recently started getting to where regular people can buy and regular businesses can buy and start using it.
Yeah. And for people that, you know, aren't aware at all about what 3D printing is or the 3D design, how would you describe that?
The best way I can explain it is if somebody has an idea of anything, don't matter what it is, I create a 3D model on a computer, and just kind of like the little minions on Despicable Me. And what I do is
on the movie.
Yeah,
okay.
That's the best way to explain it. So I take that 3D model and I stick it in a computer, and I tell it, how big to make the slices, how thick to make the walls, the infill, the temperature, and all the parameters, and everything. And it sends it to my printer, and what it does is it makes one thin layer at a time.
So you actually have you have a program on your computer.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's where you design.
Mm-hmm.
And then but the printer you have is not a typical printer like people think about.
Yeah, it looks like a microwave pretty much. It's the size of a microwave.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Okay, yeah, that's a good way to describe that.
Yeah, and my machine can build is 6 by 6 by 9 inches, but they have some machines that can build larger. But that's really like the generic size is something small like that, because 3D printers now are basically made for like prototyping and different things like that. It's not really made for mass producing, so you don't really need something to be super big, and it takes a while to print. So
yeah. But now I think the part that surprises a lot of people is, you know, because I know that was for me, before you see a 3D printer, you think that it's just like a big kind of, you know, a big flat rectangle piece of plastic that mm-hmm. you slide in and something gets cut out.
Yeah.
That's not what happens.
No. A lot of people always constantly ask me, you know, like, oh, so what's it cutting? Where's the material coming from? And it comes from behind a machine. It looks like weed eater string, and it goes into
– telephone – like if you've ever seen telephone wire rolled
up. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it looks like that.
Yeah. It's on like a 2-pound spool of plastic or wire just wrapped up, and it goes into the extruder head, and it's kind of like a hot glue gun that's on motors. And it goes through the extruder head and it makes a design on the build platform. And when it's finished that layer, the layer will just drop down a little bit and then it continues, makes another layer, and it just keeps on until it's done.
And what's fascinating to look at, there's different color. It all comes in different colors. And, you know, and this is everything from the oil industry, you know, to
teaching people, using it, prototyping, using it for examples, for training people, or even kids, different things like that.
Yeah, and then things like promotional items.
Yes.
You know, people will use it for that too. The thing that really intrigued me, though, Vinny, is, you know, there's some projects that you got involved in, you know, that really have and are helping people, you know, understand things, live a different life, which I do want to talk about. But before we get to that, part of for your creating, when you do that, for how the idea comes up for you, do you sketch first or is it on the computer?
I drive. That's the best way I can explain it.
You drive?
I drive in my car. Ever since I remember, you know, I've always had like golf carts or, you know, go-karts, a four-wheeler. And, you know, when I had a design in my head, you know, I couldn't just sit down and look at a piece of paper and draw it out. I had to go do something and I would think about it.
Oh, that's interesting.
So,
yeah.
It sounds kind of dangerous. I'm driving and thinking at the same time, but for some reason it works. You know, I get to drive and I just kind of talk to myself and figure out what way is going to work. And then once I kind of figure it out, then I'll sit down with a piece of paper and I'll just kind of sketch it out. And then from that sketch, I go on a computer and make a 3D model.
Well, you know, somehow that process of driving puts you into kind of a relaxed mood that allows your brain – You know, I mean, that's a stimulating thing for your brain when you can put yourself – oh, that's interesting. So you go drive.
Yes.
And is there music on while you're doing that?
No. I rarely have my radio on.
When you're in that part of the process.
Well, I'm always thinking, so I never have my radio on in my car.
Oh, okay. So no CDs, nothing?
Nothing.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. So how does – because you have talked about how music works in your creating process, though.
Yeah.
How does that come in?
A lot of people ask me, you know, they always say, hey, you heard this new song, you know, the lyrics are awesome. It's like, I don't hear the lyrics. No matter what song it is, I don't hear the words at all. To me, music and words are just like music. It's just a noise. You know, when people are singing a song or whatever, you know, I kind of want to sing along. I just mumble it because that's all I hear it as. And I don't know. It just kind of gets me a nice little beat, a rhythm to kind of keep on going. And I don't know. It's a different way of thinking, I guess.
But. Yeah. So, I mean, once you get by the creative process for you, the time that you're creating is quiet.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Quiet and driving.
Yes.
But then when you're actually doing the creative with the machinery, that's where then the music comes in.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
Definitely.
And when you hear music, you don't hear – you hear the beats.
Yep. Yep.
That's intriguing, Vinny.
Cool.
Huh. So do you ever worry about – forgetting about whatever it is, you must be very visual where you retain that. You know, if you're not jotting it down or drawing, sketching it out.
Every once in a while, I write it down on a piece of paper. I draw all these sketches and these ideas and stuff like that. But it doesn't have to have all the details. It doesn't have to have all the information to it. My mom, actually, when I was going to high school and junior high and stuff, I would rip out pages out of my book or, you know, my textbook, and I would start drawing some ideas and different designs, and I'll put it in my pocket. And then, you know, when I put my clothes to be washed, she would check all the pockets, and she would grab all these little drawings out. And just until recently, I found out that she kept all these drawings.
Oh, she saved them all. Very cool.
And it's pretty amazing that I can go back, and I was looking, and I remember, you know, what the design was for, and I remember what it was used for. It was pretty awesome.
What kinds of – that's so great that she did that.
Yeah.
What kinds of things were you designing at that time?
When I was in high school, I was extremely into, like, you know, car customization.
Into what?
Car customization.
What's that?
Like
car customization. Yeah. That was my northern ears hearing your southern accent.
I'm actually the president of a car club, and we get together and we design cars. We customize them at speakers, lights, and lift them up or drag them on the ground, different things like that.
Yeah.
But I've always came up with different ideas of how to customize a car. Making custom center consoles that flip and rotate and hide things and different things like that.
Yeah. So I'm curious, during the time, because you're self-taught.
Yes.
With this. During that time that you were learning about it, I'm guessing that you did not have a 3D printer at that time. I'm curious about how that worked, that you were able to learn without actually having the equipment you needed,
My best teacher was YouTube. YouTube was free, and it was videos and audio. And I taught myself how to do all 3D work on a computer through YouTube. I taught myself how to do 3D printer stuff through YouTube. Everything was through YouTube.
Huh.
It's pretty amazing. You just type in what you want, and it'll teach you. And, so I did a lot of research before I was able to get a printer. And it took 2 months before I was even – I ordered a printer. It took 2 months before I even got it. So it was just 2 months of twiddling in my thumbs. And I was like, okay, so let me learn about it when it comes in. And I got it. And then about 3 months straight, it was 3 months of failed prints. Nothing was working right. And it was aggravating because it's so new that it's – you really have to – work at it so you get it just right. And after 3 months, I got it perfect, and I'm getting perfect prints every time.
Set the microwave up and print away.
Yeah.
Have you designed some things for vehicles?
Yeah, I'm actually designing some speaker knobs and volume knobs, different things like that for cars. And even I had a guy that had some interest in the air vents on your car. He wanted to have a custom air vent that had his initials on it, or have the Chevy bow tie on it.
Oh yeah,
so,
yeah.
Different things like that.
And so what denotes how strong whatever it is you're making? Because my guess is the things that people can make through 3D printing, there's a difference in the strength of. Is that right?
Yeah. Every day there's coming out new filaments. That's what we call the actual material filament. And it's coming out.
That's the rope looking stuff. The strength.
Yeah, the actual plastic. They're coming out with new ones every day. And it's pretty interesting, some of the crazy stuff that they're coming out with. Actually, just recently, they just came out with a metal filament that you can actually 3D print it. And it's called metal clay. And you can actually print out whatever object you want. And when you're done, you stick it in a kiln, and it'll melt away all the clay and keep your actual metal object. And it's one solid piece.
See, it is I was telling people when I first met you, some of the things that you talk about and things you do, I think of Terminator from the Terminator movies. And that's just, when you think about that one, where it was all the metal body.
Yeah.
Huh, so it'll melt away the kiln. Yeah, it will melt away the clay, but you've got that metal piece.
It'll fuse all the, it's a very, very fine powder of the metal that's in the clay, and it'll fuse it all together.
And that will come in the round,
yes.
In the rolls of the string too, the
yes.
metal.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. So there's wood.
Yes.
I do know that you're talking about. So it's wood. Is the plastic that is used, is any of that any kind of form of, do they recycle plastic at all for that?
No, not that I know of. I've heard some people online that, they'll buy back our failed prints. Because, you get that every once in a while. You'll be printing out something that takes about 12 hours, and 6 hours through it fails, and then you can't start back from that spot. You have to start all over again. So that piece right there is useless, and some people actually buy it back and remake it.
Yeah, the difference is, let's say for somebody, since you're talking about firing in a kiln, somebody working with clay, and they're on the wheel, and it doesn't – they can reuse that.
Yes.
Or they can fix – sometimes they can get it going again. And But in this –
yeah.
Something's halfway through printing and it screws up.
Yeah, it pretty much waste plastic, But like I said, there are some companies that will buy it back, but they'll, resell it to their people and stuff. So I'm pretty much waiting for a machine to come out so where I can actually take all my used plastic and throw it in it, and it'll restring out, my filament. So I can change different colors and have it for different properties and different things.
Yeah, so
like
you can recycle it back.
Yeah.
I mean, you can.
But I can't do it. But other companies do.
Yeah, but other people could do that.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Well, we're going to take a quick break here and listen. Now, music that you have brought in, you have described it as kind of techno.
Yes.
And the music for you, as you discussed earlier, is really based on the beat.
Yes, that's all it is.
That's all it is to you, is based on the beat. And so when you're working, the type of project you're working on, does that designate?
Yes, without a doubt. If I'm actually doing a 3D modeling on a computer, actually making a 3D model right on a computer screen, I'll listen to like a high energy type of dubstep or techno music.
So when you're working on the computer, you'll have music on.
Oh, yeah.
It's just in the vehicle.
Just in
the,
that, like just
during
coming
those
up
early
idea.
Stages.
Yeah, just thinking about it. How am I making it?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So, but yeah, when I'm on a computer and I'm designing something, it has to be a high energy. And my office has big windows in front of it, and I have different customers or different people from other businesses that'll pass right in front of it, and they'll see me dancing and banging my head, and I'm just getting into it. But that's what I do. That's how I get in the zone and stuff.
Yeah, so, yeah. And as I said before, it kind of fits that you're someone who works creating – it's kind of working with these machines that's mm-hmm. – that music fits for that.
Yeah.
Well, what should we – what's going to get us in the mood today? What kind of mood are you in right now? Track two?
Yeah, let's do that one.
And that's it's called Bullet or Ballet? Whoops. It's called Bullet Train.
No, Bullet Train, that's what it is.
Bullet Train by Stephen Schwartz.
Yes.
Like a bullet train. Moving like the speed of sound. Keep on the ground. Can't stay in one place. Keep moving like a bullet train. Like a bullet train. Like the speed of sound, we can keep on the ground. Can't stay in one place. Keep moving like a bullet train. Like a bullet train. Like a bullet train. Like a bullet train. Stop.
Train.
All right. That was Bullet Train by Stephen Swartz. And if you're just joining us, this is The Exchange. And my guest in the studio today is a 3D designer, Vinny Savoy, from actually Opelousas, just right down the road from the studio. And we're talking about just the whole industry of 3D printing and what that has brought. But two, about how Vinny works and how his creative process works. But, you know, one thing you were talking about earlier, Vinny, is that, you know, your mom, thank goodness that she did when you were younger and she was washing your clothes, mm-hmm. would clean out your pockets, and she saved all your sketches and yes. the design drawings you did when you were younger. But you come to, in terms of that creative part of you, it comes from both of your parents.
Yes. Huh? Yes, my dad. You know, he was into construction. He delivered bread for Wholesome Bakery.
Yeah.
That was his real job.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
He always had a passion for, you know, doing cabinetry work and remodeling the house. Actually, that's what we did every vacation. We always remodeled the house.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't really much of a vacation. But
your house or somebody else's?
Well, our house.
Our house.
In,
yeah, yeah.
So, you know, he taught me the framing aspect and how to build things the right way. And he introduced me to Lowe's and all the nails and hammers and duct tape. You know,
yeah,
he showed
yeah.
me how to do that stuff. And then my mom went to went to college to be an art teacher.
Ah.
And so she taught me how to do, you know, how to make things look good.
Yeah.
And, you know, color and painting and artistic side to it.
Oh, okay.
So I had a best of both worlds, you know, the framing and art side to it.
Yeah. Did she do artwork? I mean, did she herself actually, what was her, did she paint? Did she sculpt? What was her?
Like I said, she went to school to be an art teacher, but she didn't finish school. But still on the side today, she still does art stuff. She still draws, and she actually she's doing stained glass right now.
Ah, very cool.
So she draws all the sketches for the stained glass, and then she'll cut all the glass and make it work. So
yeah. Now, is there anything with her glass work that can go in with that? Is there any kind of glassing that can be printed out? There's no material like that, huh?
Never heard of that.
Yeah.
But that would be pretty interesting, though.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
You can invent that.
All right. I'll do that.
I want to start talking a bit, though, about one of the things that you got into is if you can tell us the story about you went to St. Jude's.
Yes.
And I know you first went there to business-wise.
Yes.
But when you got there, it turned into a whole nother experience.
Yeah. I went over there with the guy that works for me.
And then you went to the St. Jude's up in?
In Baton Rouge.
Oh, in Baton Rouge you
yes.
went. Okay.
Yeah. I gave the lady over there a call, the one that runs kind of like the St. Jude's division. And I told her about what I did. And she was like, we don't need stickers. We don't need T-shirts. And I was like, I don't do that type of printing. You know,
yeah,
I was like,
yeah.
It's something really unique. You have to see it. And she said, okay, well, I'm open this day. So we went over there and, you know, we gave her a couple ideas and, you know, we had some prices already preset. And, you know, I knew St. Jude's was already a donation kind of a company, hospital.
Sure.
But, you know, I was just starting out and I was just kind of like hitting everybody I can just trying to, you know, get some business. And when we left, the guy that was with me, Brandon Bertrand, you know, we're walking out. I was like, you know, we need to do this for free. I think this would be a fun little project. You know, we need to do something. And one of the things that she explained that was really hard to teach the kids was about sickle cell anemia. And the way they showed me was they grabbed a piece of paper, they drew two lines and said, okay, this is a vein. And then they drew a circle and says, this is a healthy blood cell. And then drew like a moon shape. So this is a bad blood cell. And so, you know, the moon shape gets caught up. And she tried to teach the kids that way. But in my mind is that, you know, we see everything in 3D. You know, whenever you look at anything, it's always in 3D. So why are we trying to teach people things in 2D, you know, on a page?
Mm-hmm.
So when I went back to the office, we started designing this 3D kind of vein with the 3D healthy blood cells and sickle cells. And in the sickle cells are actually magnets. And in the middle of the vein, they're on the backside.
Yeah, my guess is did you first go and kind of study up on sickle cell a little bit more?
I went on YouTube.
Yeah, yeah, and found out more
yeah,
about what this
yeah.
actually is, what this disease is.
Exactly, exactly. You know, she told me, you know, what she wanted to point out, you know, what are the things that she needed to really point out to the kids so they can understand it. But I still went back and did my little research and figured out exactly what a sickle cell looks like and a healthy blood cell looks like so I can make a 3D model of it, and then that way I can print it out of plastic. But But it was pretty cool, though. I mean, on the back of the vein, they had a magnet. Sickle cells had a magnet. So when you slided them down the vein, the sickle cells would get caught up right in the middle, but the healthy blood cells wouldn't. So when you had enough sickle cells getting caught up in the middle, and then you had the healthy blood cells slide down, they would all get caught up. And that would show what would happen, you know.
So it was it's almost like the vein that you created, if people could, you know, picture that,
yes.
Kind of looked like a PVC pipe,
yes.
In a way, like a larger – but the color of a vein.
Well, that's exactly what it was. It was a PVC pipe. It was a 5-inch PVC pipe.
Ah, yeah. Okay.
That I spray painted red, and all the rest of it was 3D printed.
Okay, so the cells is what you printed then.
Yes.
Okay, so you'd use that for the vein. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you think about it in terms of, you know, young people too and how they and how art adds in. I mean, I think that art is such an incredible component for mm-hmm. for people in general, but especially for kids to learn.
Yes.
You know, to visualize that. And the colors that you would pay attention to, mm-hmm. you know, making it almost kind of like a little game.
Yeah.
You know, piece for that.
Definitely.
So have you finished it to take it back yet, or is that?
I actually sent it off yesterday. They should be getting it in today.
Really?
So, yeah. I hope they like it.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And so what they can do with it then is, like you said, as you slide mm-hmm. – as you slide the cells are a cylinder shape. The healthy ones are.
Yeah, it looks like a disc almost.
Yeah.
The healthy blood cells, and they'll just slide right through it because there's no magnets in it, and so they can teach the kids that the healthy blood cells won't get caught up. You know, this is what normally happens, and then like I said, once you stick the sickle cell down there, it gets caught up on that magnet and it'll stay right in the middle.
Yeah.
And it's something that the kids can actually do themselves, and you know, so they can kind of physically do it and figure it out instead of having somebody show them like a video or something.
Exactly. And, you know, I had worked in the health industry for quite a while, and that's such a nice thing then for the kids to educate their parents.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but I just think of for the whole family to be able to see that visually mm-hmm. and what happens with that.
Well, I mean, before I had a meeting with her, I knew nothing about it. So, you know, I'm pretty sure that it would help for the parents as well. You know?
Oh, yeah.
So the parents will know really what's happening.
Yeah.
Because
I think for so much of us, when somebody just sketches something out on paper, it's hard.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and then you're told a lot of times, well, just, you know, picture what this would. And yep. If you're not visual, like, you know, mm-hmm. I'm a good example of that. But if I can see it, you know, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, very nice. Well, the other do you have other things that you've been thinking of with that in terms of diseases and things?
None just yet, because I wanted to, like, get out their hot potatoes, I guess you can say. Yeah, whatever is the most things that they want to demonstrate to the kids the best.
Yeah.
And sickle cell was the number one. So I'm going to call them up in a couple of weeks and figure out what's the next thing and then slowly work on it.
Yeah, that's a cool thing. Yeah. That's a nice project. What was it that one that your mom and grandma helped to donate for that?
It was actually for the robotic hand. That was
that's for the next hand.
Yeah.
That's the other one we're going to talk about.
Yes.
That's where they got involved in
that.
If you're just joining us, my guest in the studio today, Vinny Savoie, is a 3D designer, and we're talking about 3D printing and a wonderful project that he did with St. Jude's in creating a model to help families and the young kids understand the process that they go through with sickle cell anemia. But this is KRVS 88.7 FM or on the web at krvs.org. And if you're feeling a bit generous, you go on our website. It's a safe, secure site to help us out because we are listener support. And you can take a look at all the other things that the station has to offer in terms of news and great podcasts of all the shows that are on here. And I do want to mention that it is happy birthday time for Cecil Doyle. So if you do see him today or tomorrow, please wish him a big happy birthday. And as he pointed out to me, what's great about this station is we have over 30 locally produced programs, which is a wonderful thing. A lot of talent to showcase here in the area. Vinny, for this next project that you looked at doing, and you talked about robotic hands.
Yes.
Now tell me about how that all came into your life.
I'm really not too sure. I mean, it happened about 2 or 3 months ago, but I don't understand really how I fell upon it. I somehow introduced to this Google Plus page. It's called Enable. And they had a webinar that was going on with Bree Pateras, which is the owner of MakerBot, the guy who designed my printer, my 3D printer.
Okay.
And so, you know, I thought it was maybe about something that he's designing something else new about the printer. So I want to listen in and figure out, you know, so I can get a heads up. And they were talking about robotic hands, or pretty much the robo hand. And it was this man that he his son didn't have a hand. And so what he did was he actually bought a MakerBot 3D printer, and he had no 3D design experience ever in his life. And he designed a hand, 3D printed it, and gave it to his son and let his son have a robotic hand. And once it worked, then he took that 3D model and uploaded it to a website. It's called Thingiverse. And
it's called what?
Thingiverse.
Thingiverse?
Thingiverse, yeah. That's where you upload things.
Oh,
you
know? Okay.
And it's pretty cool. It's a great website. He uploaded the model on Thingiverse, and it's an open website. So anybody can take it and download it and edit it and fix it and do all kind of modifications to it. And he did it for free. So where people who didn't have hands, they can have hands for a real cheap price versus the prosthetic route.
Yeah.
And it turns out the group Enable, their webinar was about streamlining the process between a 3D printer and somebody who needs a hand. How can we can make that process as fast and easy as we can? So we came up with a lot of different ideas about 3D scanning and making molds of the person's hand and all kind of crazy ideas. And so I think we kind of got it figured out. You know, we got different ways and different methods depending on the complexity of the hand and stuff like that. But it was my job to actually make a website for it.
So. Just through meeting people through that webinar?
Yeah. Went to the webinar and they were coming up with ideas and stuff. And all these guys, they're engineers or they're professors.
Yeah.
And they're all from New York and the states above.
Yeah.
And you have me that, I'm not an engineer. I didn't go to school for that stuff. And I'm like, hey, let's use some duct tape. Let's use some Velcro, And and they were a lot of times they were like, that's crazy. I don't know if that idea's smart enough. And they're like, well, actually, it's going to work, And lo and behold, they're actually using some of my ideas, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah. Well, okay, because that's my next question. Versus so on that 3D printer, let's say you create – they're creating a whole hand,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
So, and when they do that for a specific person, do they first do they take measurements of where the wrist area? They do that first?
That's what we're trying to streamline. We're trying to figure out what's the best way to do it. And the best way we did was you actually take a 6-second video or 10-second video of your hand, and you take a quarter and you put a quarter on a table and you put your hand right on the side of it, and you just show all the movements of your hand. You have it faced up, face down, bend it, close it if you can. And what we do is we'll take
keep going.
We'll take that video, we'll pause it, and we do a screenshot of it, upload it to Paint or some type of a photo editing software, and we take a quarter and we measure the quarter, and the quarter's, let's say for instance 1 inch or so, and we go onto the picture and say, okay, well if the quarter's 1 inch, then the hand should be this big, and we just kind of figure it out from the picture.
All right. So. And then you design that on a computer program,
yes.
Just you would some kind of architectural drawing type
thing. We try to make it as universal as we can. And we use Velcro to kind of take up the slack and, our strings.
So is that's my next question. How does one – because different when, somebody gets an actual prosthesis.
Mm-hmm.
How do you attach – you all are creating?
The original ones were, it was made specifically for your hand. It was 3D scanned or it was molded, and then it was 3D scanned so where it fits your hand perfect.
How would they get it? How do they keep it on?
Well, it was actually a strap that went all the way up to your elbow. It was really strapped on and stuff. The same methods for this one. It's going to be pretty much the same. It all really depends on, the type of problem with the hand. If you have a wrist, sometimes you can actually, have like a watch, but it'll be like a wristband, and it'll mount onto that. But if you have more missing, then you need to mount it up higher. So it's different applications require different things,
Yeah, and so one of the things, and I do want to tell people, because the site then that was created, the uniquehands.org,
mm-hmm.
was that after this webinar, or has that been around? That came out of that webinar.
Yeah, it was after the webinar. The process that we had meeting up, pairing up people, what I call printers to users. Printers are people who have 3D printers. Users are people who need the hands. The way we did it before is it's kind of like a Facebook page almost. You go on there and say, hey, I need a hand. I'm from Florida. Somebody find me. And, you know, you had – and then it was also – Facebook page was also a place where you go in there and put in you know, you different ideas with a robotic hand. And then there's also a place where you can put in, like, different materials. So that person who needed the hand is way down the list. And somebody who's Florida who has a printer, they wouldn't be able to find them because it went way down the list.
I see.
So I wanted to create a website that was a little more easier. It was just for the printers and users where I can pair them up. And we keep the Facebook page or the Google Plus page for the designing of it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the users really aren't too they really don't want to know about the design. They just need a hand, you know. They just want to go forward. You know?
And sometimes it's not a whole hand. Sometimes it's they have two fingers that were cut off in an accident or something. So the uniquehands.org, that's something – I didn't realize. That's something you created.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And so your mom and grandma came in at this point to help you out.
Yeah. I didn't really have the funds to create the website and create the domains, different things like that. So I actually had a meeting with them, and I was like, hey, let's sit down. I want to talk to y'all. You know? So I guess they were probably thinking the worst. They were like, oh, Lord, what'd he do? You know?
Yeah.
And I was like, I want to create a website that will, you know, help out people with prosthetics. And they're like, oh, like, thank God. All right. You know? And they were like, well, how much you need? You know? And I told them, I was like, well, I need this much. And they actually doubled the price. And they're like, well, here, take this much and do as much as you can with it.
So they invested in that.
They invested into it. And they didn't want to be known for it, but, you know, I'm calling them out right now.
That's right. Yeah. So very cool, Mom, from saving the sketches and the dirty jeans to then helping this out.
Yes.
Yeah, very cool. So on that, the Unique Hands website, people go on there and they actually – I mean – there's a form on there that they fill out, and you've asked them either to send pictures to describe what the deficiency is in terms.
Yes. You pretty much go on there, and it's a forum-based style. That's something that
– It's a what-based
style? Forum-based style.
Okay.
It's something that we're used to. You know, so all you do is go in there, you find your state, you go inside of it, and then you put your name, you put if you're a user or a printer, and you put what city you're from. And then in the description, you'll put all your pictures and videos and, you know, if you want to do any customizations to it and different things like that. And a printer or, you know, user will find each other. And I want to make it extremely personal.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be so where a computer will pair up people and a computer will say, okay, well, this guy needs a hand, you know, and these are the dimensions. Make it and send it to this address. I want it to be so where a user can talk to a printer guy and say, I want my hand, but I want it to be this color. Or I want to have this on it. And just make it like where it's a new experience.
Yeah. I'm curious. Some people that I have been connected to in my life, if they're missing a hand, the end of their arm is much more of a rounded surface.
Yes.
So how does that fit with – I mean, you with the hand you're making, is there a curve in the bottom?
The hands that we've been making a lot is actually – we found out like the generic problem that's been happening is – if you lose your fingers or part of your palm, you always still have your wrist, a majority of the problems. So we use that wrist to hold like a watch band to it. And underneath like the watch band, you'll have like a rubber underneath it. So it kind of sticks to your hand a little bit better. And if we need to, we'll actually extend it out so where it holds onto your forearm a little bit better. But yeah,
extend the actual plastic material so it fits over it.
Yes. And you can strap it down with Velcro a rubber band or something that holds on tight.
Okay.
You know, the hands right now really aren't made to withstand a lot of weight. You know, you can't pick up, you know, pounds, you know, 20 pounds, but in the future they will. So right now we're just testing out different ideas and trying to figure out what works and what doesn't work and what's easier to print.
And right now for a lot of folks all over who probably couldn't afford to get the full prosthesis, this gives them an option.
Yes, it's it can be made, you know, for free, or it can be made, you know, for $100-$200, depending on the guy who's making it on the printer. The plastic really isn't expensive at all, so it just involves into how much the printer wants to charge. You know, how much his time and is valuable, or how much the type of material he's using.
So, and then some people are donating.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of people are. So.
Yeah, that's a very cool thing. One of the things that I saw on your site was there, like, somebody who was missing one finger.
Yes.
And so you also ask people, like, how the accident happened, if a specific profession that they're in that they still want to be able to do. And so you had something where, like, let's say if somebody was working as a carpenter or they needed, like, a set tool, that finger becomes
– Yes. Yeah, that's on my site. I want to do something that goes a little step further than just making a generic hand. I figure if you want to do something cool, let's go like all out. Let's make it really cool. And the slogan for it is it's called making a bad situation better than when it was good, meaning that
say that again.
Making a bad situation better than when it was good.
Better than when it was good.
And pretty much means that, you know, a bad situation is, say, for instance, you're a mechanic and you lose your index finger. That's a bad situation that you lost the index finger. But let's make it better than when you had your original index finger. So if you're a mechanic, you might want like a ratchet set as your index finger. So you can put a Phillips on it. You can put a socket set on it. And you'll be kind of like Go-Go Gadget style. And you can work on cars. If you're a teacher, you would have, you know, one finger would be a USB. The other finger would be like a laser pointer. On the back of a hand, can have sticky notes on it. And I want to make it so where it just makes life better. You know, it's not going to make it worse. It's just going to make it better.
Yeah. So all you designers then, are you getting together and my guess is you're sharing ideas and boy, here, this is working or?
Yeah. I'm definitely trying on the site Enable. We do talk a lot and figure out what ways works, what ways don't. A lot of these guys, they don't have jobs. Their jobs is to create this hand. The school actually funds them to create this hand. So they spend all day on it. So they come back and say, okay, this is what I found works and doesn't work. And so it helps me out, so I don't have to go out there and test it all.
That's right.
So, yeah.
Very nice. Well, let's take a short break here. And which one should we listen to next? What kind of mood do we need to get in by the beats? We're going to listen to Paradise by Coldplay. And that's a bit slower, that one is.
Yeah, well, it's actually a remake of the song Paradise by Coldplay. It's actually African-based. It's actually an African singing the words in his language. And it's kind of like – it's the best way I can explain to you how I hear music. You know, I don't hear the actual words.
Vinny.
It's just noise, you know?
Yeah, this is how you take in music.
Yes.
All right. Thank you. Okay. That actually was a rendition of Paradise by Coldplay, but that was done by the piano guys.
Yes, on YouTube.
And if you're just joining us, my guest in the studio today is a 3D designer, Vinnie Savoie from Opelousas. And it was interesting, the conversation you and Cecil just had. You chose that song because that really describes, and the person singing is singing in a language that isn't yours, but that's the way that you could describe how you take in music.
Exactly.
And I liked what Cecil, I'm going to use what you said, because you said you totally understood that, and it's this – and correct me if I'm wrong, but you said it's the sound of the lyrics, not what they mean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. So and that's a nice way to describe that.
Yeah.
And so, very cool, Vinny. Mm-hmm. We're talking about a program that you got involved in and started a website off of being part of a webinar, but the website is uniquehands.org, and it's where you and other 3D folks with 3D printers and designers are matching up people. Is it throughout the United States for right now?
Yeah, it's throughout the United States. I do have a spot open, so where we can, if you're from another country, you can also try to do it. But right now we're just going to focus on the U.S. and just to make sure the website's working properly and try to get that going first. Then we'll expand out.
Yeah. Have some of these actually been created for where some people have tried them out?
Yes. Yeah, there's actually plenty of people.
And so you've gotten feedback.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, without a doubt. They have a lot of we call them the first time users.
Yeah.
And they're like our guinea pigs.
Yeah.
You know, and we actually have webinars with actual kids who, you know, need the hand.
Is it mostly kids you're working
mostly
with right
kids,
now?
Mostly kids, yes.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, we want to start off with the kids first and eventually branch off, because the hands, once you make a 3D model, you can actually scale up the 3D model so it can fit, you know, adults' hands. So we figure let's start with kids first, you know, get them out, and then we'll just scale it up for the humans. The adults.
Yeah, the human.
Yeah, the humans.
But that was some kind of slip there.
Yeah.
We all need to stay like kids.
Yes.
So what do you find? What's the feedback you're getting?
It's great feedback.
In regards to the kids.
The kids love it. Surprisingly, I was kind of worried that the kids, you know, might get teased on, you know, because they have a weird hand.
Yeah.
But they actually, talk about it and say that that's their Transformer hand. You know, that's
their
little alien hand. They actually enjoy it. You know?
Yeah.
And it's really, really awesome because, they're able to do things that, you know, they never were able to do ever. And
Really cool. Did you remember some of the stuff they talked about?
Well, some of the videos that I've seen is they do a lot of like physical therapy work. You know, they're just picking up balls and picking up cubes and different things like that.
Will it move though?
Yes. Like I said, most of the time they still have their wrist. So where, you know, we try to design hands where they're not electric at all. It's all mechanical. So when you bend your wrist down, your fingers will actually close. And when you pull it back, they'll
open up. How does that work?
It works all through like strings and stuff. It's really like caveman style, I guess you could say.
Wow. See, I was thinking it was just one solid stationary thing.
It was actually a robo hand. And right now, the robo hand, that's like the original hand, that's all it is. It's the four fingers you have on the top is a nice straight line.
Yeah.
And your thumbs are actually a 90-degree angle. So when you bend your wrist down, there's strings attached to your fingers, and it's attached to your wrist. So when you bend your wrist down, it'll actually shorten up the strings, and it'll close your fingers down.
Interesting.
I'm actually working on like a robo hand of my own that's actually going to be like really, really awesome.
Yeah.
I'm excited for it.
The other thing, I'm curious with the kids, do they request, like, can you do different colors?
Yes,
or
you can do any color you want. I mean,
is that something the kids have an option? They have a choice of
I
would like a pink hand.
Definitely.
Or a green?
We stress that. We want the kids to put their personality into it. If they're into Batman, they'll have, you know, black and yellow hand, you know, and maybe. If the 3D printer guy, you know, can customize good enough, you know, then he'll put the Batman logo on the back of the hand.
Very cool.
You know, so,
Yeah, so that makes it, you know, and it's wonderful that, you know, that piece comes in about the kids talking about how they, you know, first how that hand, but how they are being accepted in, to their peer groups and at school. And
definitely.
Because that can be that's a tough thing.
Yeah, and I want it to personalize as much as I can, swear. You know, they would have something that the other kids wouldn't have, and they'd be considered as cool, you know.
Exactly.
To me, I think that's better, you know. So,
Yeah. Something, you know, that was either lost or maybe never there, you know, at one time. now becomes this, you know, very unique gift that they have. Yep. I'm curious if there has been a difference in feedback from kids who maybe lost their hand versus maybe being born without one. Has that?
I haven't heard much of a difference between them. The kids just want to kind of feel normal. They want to be able to do what other kids do. So this is like one step towards it. And, we're also working with actually developing game controllers for the kids who don't have a hand. Because if you don't have one hand, you can't really play video games. So we're developing something that's actually going to be like a step up above actual game controller. That's going to give them an advantage.
Yeah.
And make them cool. You know?
Yeah. Well, now, these are, like, let's say the physical therapist they're going to. That's somebody they were already seeing, or is that somebody who got involved because of this program?
Half and half. Some of them, that's – especially with the kids who lost their hand, they go to physical therapy and the therapist teach them how to, use just one hand. But they'll also, bring the robo hand just to kind of practice and figure out different things that they can do. And they'll come back to us and say, hey, I couldn't do this, or I couldn't pick up this size ball, or different things, or this ball kept on slipping out, So they'll have a webinar with us, and it's kids from all around the state, people from like New York, and the kids will come on and say, I want to do this, you need to fix this. And it's pretty awesome, it's technology. It's crazy.
Do you know the youngest?
The youngest I've heard of, I think it was five.
It was 5 years old, yeah. And the oldest right now?
Have
you done any for adults yet?
I haven't done any for adults yet. I would love to, though. I think that'd be really cool.
Do you think anybody in your group has done some for adults
Probably
yet?
Probably so.
Yeah.
There's a lot of the people in the group, they've done tons of designs for people. And, some of the rememberable ones they'll tell us about. But the other ones that are kind of like the generic ones, they'll kind of keep to themselves. So, we've done plenty of hands.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's very cool. You think about with just the advancement in technology but just what the internet has, given to allow this project to happen, how quickly you can gain information from, those first timers that, that you're working with and how can you, perfect what you want to do, know? Are there new ideas, Vinny, that have come like, wow, I want to try separate like from the hands? Like, God, who knows what this is going to,
All the time. I'm in my office and, I'm constantly thinking of like, pin holders for my desk or, something to attach to my iPhone, like a custom iPhone case that have a business card dispenser to it or just – And it's pretty awesome that, whatever I can think of, I can just kind of design and print it out and make it happen.
And just the nice thing for, we talked about with this organization, Unique Hands, that it provides another option out there for families who might not have the financial, abilities to get the prosthesis that have been out there before anybody tried the lower extremity, the feet? Is that?
No, we want to just start with the hand and kind of get the hand perfected.
Yeah, see what that does. Hey, I'm on to the feet already. Come on.
Yeah,
but what a cool thing, get that feedback from the first timers. And I want to say, too, the logo. I love the logo that you guys have. That it's the light bulb with the – it looks like kids, actually.
Yeah,
but, the people holding the hands around the light bulb. So, well, very cool. Vinny Savoie, it has been a pleasure to have you on today. Yeah, and it's really cool what goes through your brain. I appreciate the inventions that you're involved in and the helping. And I love the whole story about teaching the kids about sickle cell anemia. That's a wonderful thing.
You know,
whatever you can do to help people understand better what it is that they're living with. And then please check out uniquehands.org. That's a very cool thing. We're going to go out listening to – now, this is a more upbeat song.
Yes.
So this is what's going on when you're listening to this beat.
Yeah, right now when I'm listening to that beat, I'm like in the zone and I'm making like I have a really cool idea in my head and I'm like making a 3D model.
There you go.
Getting into it.
That's what Vinny Savoie of Relentless Designs. Vinny, thank you very
thank
much.
You.
Have a great week, everyone. Happy Thanksgiving. Thank you.
make this fleeting moment last forever.